JC Corcoran Podcast.
He's free as the breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze in his BVD. He's got a union card and he's practicing hard to play the guitar. Gonna be a big star, yeah, he's gonna go far and carry moonbeams home in a jar. He ordered Chet's guitar core, COD, makes A and E, and he's working on B. Dig C and W and R and B, and me and a chimpanzee agree that one day soon he'll be a celebrity. Get it, get it, get it, get it! Ow! Guitar Zan! He's a guitar man! He's all you can stand! Give him a hand! Guitar Zan! He's got a girl named Jane with no last name, kinda homely and plain, but he loves her just the same, cause she kindles a flame and it drives him insane when he hears her sing. She really does her thing, it's her claim to fame. Come on, sing one, Jane. They got a pet monkey, he likes to get drunk and sing boogie woogie and it sounds real funky. Come on, your time, boy. Sing one, monkey. Here we go. Let's hear it for the monkey. Woo! On Saturday night, they need some excitement. Jane gets right and the monkey gets tight and their voices unite in the pale moonlight and it sounds all right. Yeah, it's dynamite. It's out of sight. Let's hear it right now.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It is Tuesday, January 11th, 2022, 301 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. I have no idea what possessed me to play Ray Stevens today. I don't even like Ray Stevens, that country crap and these little songs that he thinks are so damn cute, like The Streak that was out when I was in college. And another guy who started in radio and figured, fuck this, I can make more money making these little parody songs, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Next thing you know, he's got all these hit songs. All the country radio stations love him, the Grand Ole Opry, all these, you know, hokey Branson theaters. Well, he had his own theater there for a while, Ray Stevens Theater. Just think about that for a minute. Can you imagine, by the way, trying to put that song out today with, you know, Ahab the Arab and stuff like that? Come on, man. But I just stumbled across it last night and said, you know what, I haven't played anything this dumb in a while, let's just throw it on. There used to be a lot of what are called novelty songs, you know, you had the streak. I mentioned that. Ray Stevens was, a cottage industry going just producing these song parodies. There was a guy back in the 60s and 70s by the name of Dickie Goodman. Dickie Goodman, another radio guy. And he used to ask these dumb, he had one called Mr. Jaws, because in 75 when Jaws came out, it, you know, that's all people wanted to talk about was that movie. And so what he would do is he would write this script, like a little narrative thing, and he would ask questions, but then he would use a clip from a popular song to answer the question. So he'd say, Mr. Jaws, Mr. Jaws, why are you biting my hand? And then you'd hear Melissa Manchester saying, wouldn't you give your hand to a friend? You know, hilarious, right? Yeah, well, Dickie Goodman's loaded because people bought that thing. You had Junk Food Junkie. That was also, as I recall, mid-70s. But all of these things were really, really hokey and stupid. And then Weird Al Yankovic came along, and he said, let's take this to another level. And Weird Al started doing these really sophisticated song parodies that were produced by Rick Derringer, you know, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, and also played with Edgar Winter for a long time. And so I got these things, you know, sounding exactly like the original songs. And here's the other thing, and people laugh when you say this, but it is true. Weird Al Yankovic is a really good singer. And I don't mean just like, you know, the fact that he can imitate a lot of singers when he does the parody and then you try to make it sound like the original guy. He did that parody of the Dire Straits song, you know, and he sounded like Mark Knopfler, and the music sounded exactly like the original. Now anybody can do it. I mean, anybody can do it now because you just go to the internet, get the karaoke version of the song, and then you sing your lyrics over the top of that, and you can do it. But then you have to pay a lot of money. And Randy Rainbow comes along, and then that, you know, that guy is amazing. He does all show tunes. See, that's one of the problems, though, when you do song parodies. If you don't know the original song, if you don't know the melody, if you're not familiar with it, well, then that really hurts your ability to make the song successful. Because if you do a parody, obviously, it's got to be something that people are familiar with. And let's just put it this way, America not exactly experiencing widespread appreciation of show tunes. Speaking of musical performances, last night I had the TV on because I had no real interest in the college football national championship game. I just didn't until I saw what was happening. And then, I don't know, about the fourth quarter, I did turn it on and watched the very, very exciting finish of that game. And it was great to see somebody knock off Alabama. Georgia got it done. But before I went over there, I had NBC on. And this new Kenan Thompson situation comedy, I didn't have the sound on. I just had the screen, you know, on with it. And I'm looking at him going, is that Alicia Silverstone as one of the players on the show? And I was just like, because I used to really, really dig Alicia Silverstone until I found out how crazy she was. But it was like, but it looks too young to be Alicia Silverstone. Jesus, that's her. She looks great. And then I realized that's not Alicia Silverstone, but it's somebody who looks so much like her. It's scary. And she's actually from Bourbon, Missouri. And her name is Taylor Lauterman. And a lot of you already are familiar with her. You know, she was born in Wisconsin, but then moved to Bourbon, Missouri. It's about 60 miles from downtown St. Louis. And she did Muni performances and stuff like that, and she's been on the talk shows and everything. Very, very pretty gal, 31 years old, and in that Kenan Thompson thing, but I don't know. I think Kenan Thompson's absolutely hilarious on Saturday Night Live. Just doesn't seem to work outside of that environment. Did you see yesterday where Harrison Bader was involved in some sort of deal where he's like teacher for a day? They had him in a gymnasium with some, you know, elementary school or something. They were playing dodgeball. Pretty good year for Bader. I remember going into last season, I was like, we got to get more production out of center field. And I just don't know that Harrison Bader is ever going to really blossom to the level that we need him to do. But he made me pretty much a believer last year. Still strikes out too much. But, you know, defensively, he's not Jim Edmonds, but he's approaching that territory in terms of the amount of ground that he covers out there. And, you know, he's starting to hit for average a little better, and I'm glad he's around. He also seems like a really good guy. But one of the reasons I bring it up, he's wearing leather, and I'm starting to see that a lot more. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember about 8-9 years ago, I was wearing a leather jacket, and a gal pulled me aside and said, you know, leather is sort of passe. And I took the jacket and I put it away and I haven't worn it since. And it's like a $350 leather jacket. I'm like, great, great. It's like the Nicole Miller ties that were really popular in the 1990s. I probably had about 50 or 60 Nicole Miller ties. And my recollection is they were about $60 each. And I still have them all. I'm waiting for them to come back, like paisley. But then it dawned on me, you know, I just saw somebody else really famous wearing a leather jacket. I can't remember who it was. And I'm like, is leather coming back? I don't know. It's not a rhetorical question. I honestly don't know. If you know, let me know. I don't know where you find out things like that. Is there some sort of website or some sort of official handbook that says, oh, yes, this is now cool, this is not? In the latest chapter of COVID hysteria, here we go. As a general rule, anybody who tells you to do this is probably sort of nuts to begin with, but there's a prominent anti-vaxxer. I'm not going to say the guy's name. Why make him famous? He's causing trouble, all right? But he won't stop claiming the vaccine is a bioweapon, and he's got a lot of people who believe him. And his newest piece is to skip your booster and drink your own pee instead. He posted a video and claimed there's a ton of evidence to support what he calls urine therapy. He doesn't actually present any of that evidence, though. He just says, do your own research. And he admits that it sounds crazy. Imagine that. He actually says that multiple times, but he claims he's been doing it himself for 23 years to cure various ailments. I'm going to go with a single with this guy. He also admits there haven't been any real peer-reviewed studies on it, and it's all anecdotal evidence, except that he mispronounces it as antidotal antidotal evidence. Yeah. And again, like I said, he's got followers. He's got followers. Finally, St. Louis does not make the top 5 or the top 10 list. Orkin just posted its 2022 list of the top cities for bed bugs, and Chicago is number 1 for the second year in a row. Each year, they rank the top 50 cities for bed bugs by looking at how many people had to use exterminators over the past 12 months. Philadelphia jumped way up onto the list of the number 2 spot, up from 14th last year. I'm sounding like Casey Kasem. The rest of the top 10, New York, Detroit, Baltimore, Indianapolis, D.C., Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. St. Louis, by the way, is number 18. The world, especially the entertainment world, still reeling from the sudden loss of Bob Saget. No real new information, but this is where it really gets creepy and morbid and unnecessary. So yesterday, people immediately start chirping because they're like, okay, the autopsy is going on right now. And people are like, oh boy, if you're a celebrity, you get an autopsy right away. If you're everybody else, you have to wait months to do an autopsy. And it's like, no, that's not true. That is not true. When you do the autopsy, that's just the actual process of collecting the data. And I guess you would say, like, you know, checking the fluids and the body tissue and stuff like that, internal organs, injuries, things like that. That's all done as soon as possible following the death of a human being, whether it's a celebrity or not. But to take that data and to process it still takes about 2 to 3 months. So again, people yakking about something they don't know about on the internet. These dummies who think that somebody, that a coroner would wait 3 months before he would do an autopsy on a dead body. No, you do the autopsy as soon as possible after the death, but the processing of the information is what takes long. So they did that yesterday. But there's all these details about what position his body was in and that he felt clammy. And why do we need to know that? How is that enhancing your appreciation of Bob Saget's life or respecting the fact that, you know, his family is devastated by all this? And they're like, well, we touched him and he was clammy. Oh, for God's sakes, stop already. And then, of course, they got to release the 911 call again. I don't know what that has to do with anything other than it's just morbid. Let me hear the call. Oh, did the guy at the hotel, did he sound really nervous? Ooh, listen to that. What kind of a person gets enjoyment or entertainment out of that? Now, some of this other information, like we found out yesterday, Betty White had a stroke 6 days before she died. All right. That's pertinent information. Okay. It's medical and it explains maybe what happened. And there's other stuff on Bob Saget, too. But again, the results of the autopsy, 10 to 12 weeks. By the way, he died on what would have been his late sister's 75th birthday. She died from that scleroderma thing. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. But this guy was loved. This guy was really loved and appreciated. He had tons and tons of friends in the entertainment world. All of his fellow comedians have already spoken up about what a wonderful guy he was. He was sort of a philanthropist, too, and raised a ton of money for this scleroderma thing that his sister died from. And then yesterday, Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live, who is known to have had some psychological issues along the way, and you can sort of understand that. You know, your father is killed in 9/11, firefighter, and you know, you got to grow up in Staten Island. You're like 12 feet tall. You're taller than everybody else in your class, and I think it led to some psychological issues. And he said that Bob Saget was one of the guys who came along and said, look, I'm going to call you all the time, and we're going to check all this stuff out. We're just going to make sure you're doing well and everything like that. He was like, the guy, you know, for all intents and purposes, for all I know, may have saved my life. I don't know. All I know is 65 is pretty young to be passing away. I don't care who you are. For all these clown asses who are COVID deniers, you know, you're just sort of sitting there and watching what happens. And, you know, you have these long 911 wait times. Grandpa's having a heart attack or something like that. You call 911, you get put on hold. And there are stories of it taking hours for ambulances to be able to show up at somebody's house because the 911 wait times are exacerbated by all this COVID stuff going on. And then you have long, even after you finally get through to the 911 people, then they're like, okay, well, we don't have any ambulances right now. It could be a while. So there's long wait times for ambulances. And of course, nurses and doctors are so overworked and just so emotionally brittle by now. And so many doctors and especially nurses are quitting because of the pressure. They just can't handle it. And all of this, because about 40% of the population of this country is stupid. You know, they always say we get the government we deserve. Well, I think we're getting what we deserve on this too. And so much of this is fueled by social media. And I'll tell you a quick story. The Facebook people don't like me because I go nose to nose with some of these, oh, anti-vaxxers and COVID deniers and stuff like that. Facebook, you go there and there's constantly somebody up there putting up completely ridiculous information. Again, like this guy who says, drink your own piss. All right. And so on occasion, I will spar with these people and going, all right, so what is your medical background? Where'd you go to medical school? I don't need a medical degree. And then people start calling you names, and then they notify all their friends, and they start with the avalanche of comments on your comments section and, you know, trying to shout you down. And I've said to the Facebook people, you know, you're going to punish me? You're going to make me go away for 30 days. What's more important to you? The fact that I called some guy an asshole, and so, we gotta take you down, you're bullying. Oh, really? Since when is calling somebody an asshole bullying, by the way? But I always say to them, because you can appeal these things and go, what's more important to you? The fact that you think you're doing some great service to Facebook by making me sit on the sidelines for 30 days because I called somebody an asshole? Or the fact that Facebook is not doing its job weeding out completely irresponsible and untrue COVID information? What is wrong with you people? If you're out on the street and you get in an altercation with somebody and you call them an asshole and they take out a gun and shoot you, Facebook would say that the problem was you, that you called the guy an asshole, not the fact that somebody pulled out a gun and took a human life. Such is the world we now live in with social media. This is probably why we have the situation we do with more and more people, especially celebrities, just going off of social media. Selena Gomez says unnecessary hate all over Facebook. Kristen Stewart said it was addicting and time-wasting. Lord, who said it brought her too much stress about all the bad things happening in the world. Taylor Swift said, forget it. Jennifer Aniston said, forget it. Ed Sheeran is off social media. Kate Winslet is off social media. Alec Baldwin compared it to a party where everybody is screaming. Are you ready for some football? You think you are. This is just not, I mean, I like the football games, and I especially like the wild card weekend. This is a lot of freaking football. So here we go. Saturday, 3:30 on NBC, Vegas, 6.5-point underdogs at Cincinnati. And at least with the weather forecast that we currently have for Cincinnati, they could be playing that game in a blizzard. So if you're putting some money down on the football games this weekend, at least keep that in the back of your head. That could be a real mess in Cincinnati on Saturday afternoon and evening. Saturday night, 7:15 on CBS. The Patriots, 4.5-point underdogs at Buffalo. That's a great game. Oh, man. Sunday, 12 noon on Fox. The Bucs are 8.5-point faves at home against Philadelphia. Tom Brady should not have any problem with them. And then at 3:30 on CBS, Dallas, 3.5-point favorites at home against the 49ers. And then Sunday night, 7:15 on NBC, the Chiefs, 11.5-point favorites at home against the Steelers. And then the first ever Monday night football playoff game on ESPN, 7:15, the Rams, 5.5-point picks at home against Arizona. Today is the third anniversary of what we talked about yesterday, the beginning of the snowfall, which started on that Friday night where people couldn't get home from work. Just hundreds of abandoned cars all over 55, all over 40, all over everything, really. People just couldn't get around. Even just the slightest grade in the road, and cars just couldn't negotiate it because it started out as like snow pellets and ice and stuff like that. And it continued the next day, 2019, on this date, 11.4 inches of snow in the St. Louis area. There's talk, and this is way too early. It's only Tuesday morning. But probably Friday right now, if the forecast holds up, St. Louis would get about 3-4 inches of snow. And even though it would be on the weekend, it would be capable of shutting the town down, especially if the snow begins while people are still at work on Friday. And here we go. So just keep that in the back of your mind that there could be a developing situation. We'll talk about it, obviously, all this week. And on Friday morning, we should have a very, very clear indication of whether or not this thing is going to be happening. And this, by the way, is the system that will be pushing through the Midwest and would cause problems for that game in Cincinnati on Saturday as the storm moves east. Speaking of snow, 1986 was the year that I was sitting at home getting ready to go to the first ever city ski. I think it was like Michelob or something like that. And the station I was at the time, Casey, was the sponsor of this whole thing. And I was supposed to be doing a lot of the emceeing and everything like that. And they just basically had a snowmaking machine downtown. And they put in some sort of inclines and stuff like that. And you could ski downtown. Only one problem. The day before this thing was on a Sunday. The day before this thing, I came down with one of the worst cases of the flu I ever had, and I had to call in sick, and the radio station was really pissed. It's like, what do you want me to do? I was looking forward to it. I wanted to be there. I got the flu. Shaking like a leaf here. That was 1986. And then in 2007, St. Louis Restaurant Association came along and said, hey, you're the media person of the year. See, there's another guy on AM radio who does this stuff with restaurants all the time, forgetting, of course, that we started that years and years and years ago. Once or twice a week, we'd have a restaurant come in, just supporting the restaurant business in the St. Louis area, and more importantly, getting free food. But the restaurant people love to talk about their restaurant and about their food and just their style of cuisine and everything. They just love talking about it, and we love having them talk about it. And it's fun. You're sitting there and you're eating some really, really good stuff, you know, great cuts of meat and these elaborate sauces and everything. And you're like, man, is this stuff good? And people would say, yeah, well, come down and see our restaurant at such and such a place. And everybody goes away happy. We got our tummies full And these guys get a free 10-15-minute commercial on one of the most popular radio stations in town. What's wrong with that, right? So we started doing that back around, oh my God, 84, 85. So don't let anybody else try to convince you that they created this idea of having restaurants come in to the radio station on a regular basis, okay? And again, 2007, we thank the St. Louis Restaurant Association for naming me Media Person of the Year, and I have the little glass plate with the inscription on everything. I have that sitting right behind me here. The movers broke the crap out of it, but I glued it back together and it still looks nice. Oh, speaking of football, and we were a moment ago, Fox Sports put out the early Super Bowl odds for every playoff team. The Packers and the Chiefs have the best odds. The Steelers and the Eagles have the worst. So if you're hoping to see Tom Brady face off against Bill Belichick, and an opportunity, by the way, for all the sportscasters to mispronounce Bill Belichick's name, they all say Belichick, and it's not, it's Belichick. But if you're looking for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady, it's actually reasonably likely in terms of scenarios. All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Maggie Gyllenhaal, Jim Gaffigan on with Kimmel, Stephen Colbert's got Bradley Cooper, Seth Meyers working from, well, it wasn't home, they didn't make him go back home, but it's some sort of small room or something. I caught a little bit of it last night. I watched the rest of it today, but he can't go in the studio anymore because he's got COVID. So you got John Cena and Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live. They're going to be on with him tonight. Jenna Jameson, remember her, the former porn star? If you ever saw one of her movies and you're a red-blooded American male, she would leave, shall we say, an indelible mark, not only on your soul, but also on your mattress. I shouldn't be laughing. She's been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, lost her ability to walk. And there's a joke in there, and I'm not going to be the one to make it. You do that on your own time. Birthdays today, Amanda Peet. God, she's been in the business a long time. She must have started when she was like 20 years old. She's only 50 today. Saw her in the whole nine yards, stuff like that. Mary J. Blige, 51. It was 12 years ago today, 2010, that Mark McGwire admitted he was using performance-enhancing drugs when he broke the single-season home run record in 1998. I'm not here to talk about the past. And a little bit of baseball died on this day in 1973, 49 years ago today, owners of the American League teams opted to adopt the designated hitter rule on a trial basis. That trial is still going right now. You can see this coming. A lot of people believe that this will be the year that it will be forced upon us in the National League. I came up the elevator to the Busch Stadium press box a couple of years ago with a bunch of officials. It was just happenstance. It was just dumb luck. And I'm coming up the elevator, and that ride is about 30 seconds. And I sort of turned to them. I said, you know, you're in St. Louis. We don't want the DH. You guys know that, right? And they're like, well, you know, we're looking for consistency. And I said, great. You want consistency? Get rid of the designated hitter rule in the American League, and then you got consistency. They didn't appreciate that comment. Let's put it that way. The doors opened. They went their way. I went mine, and that was the end of that. I did what I could. The big question is, are we going to have baseball? And if so, when? Pitchers and catchers are supposed to report to Major League Baseball camps, including Jupiter, Florida, in exactly 1 month. One of these guys claiming to be an insider says that the owners will have a new proposal for the players to inspect in a couple of weeks. And I can only tell you, one of the great joys of my life and of baseball fans around the country is that trip to their favorite spring training team's site in a warmer climate. And we haven't had that now for a couple of years. And it's just one of those things that's really been missing from people's lives. If they are fortunate enough to have enough money to be able to go down to Jupiter. I mean, when you would come down to St. Pete back in the old days, you didn't need a lot of money. Very modest surroundings around Al Lang Field down in St. Petersburg. When they moved to Jupiter, now you're talking money. You're talking big money. All that PGA money is down there. And now it requires a small fortune for you to go on a spring training trip. But still, for a lot of people, they make it their vacation, or at least one of their vacations. But I'll say this, because we were just talking about the DH a moment ago, but I'll say this. I don't think baseball fans will tolerate another work stoppage. If there's a work stoppage, I think people are going to just lose it. And even diehard baseball fans are going to say, fuck it, that's it. I'll watch freaking wrestling, but I'm not going to go through any more of this business where I got to sit here and have both sides calling each other names again. All I want to see is a fucking baseball game. And this time, there won't be any Maguire, Sosa home run chase to bring people back into the ballparks. So, I'm warning you right now, both sides in the Major League Baseball lockout, which is what we have right now, get your shit together. Get it together, boys. And on that note, we say thank you. The Tuesday, January 11th, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com is in the can. We publish right about 7 o'clock every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. Everything is archived. If you miss one of the shows, you can email me, JC at jcontheline.com, on Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day, everybody. Stay warm. Make sure you got a snow shovel. You might need it by Friday night. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.